The revelation given to St. John, chapter 1. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." Pastors often do funerals with the same funeral directors time after time, and so it's easy to get to know them a little bit. Years ago, a funeral director I was talking to that I had known through the years, I asked him once as we were on a long drive together during a funeral procession, I asked him, "What's the most difficult preparation that you've ever had to do of someone's body?" And he told me it was a 3-year-old girl who had been killed in a car accident, a drunk driving accident, where her father had not buckled her in the seatbelt and just had her standing in the front seat and gotten into a horrible car accident, and she flew through the windshield. This funeral director told me that he, at the time, himself had a 3-year-old daughter the same age, and he said he cried uncontrollably during the whole time he was preparing her body for her funeral. But then he said, 2 days later, her father also died of his injuries. And now that body was brought into his funeral home, and he had to prepare his body. And he said, "I was filled with nothing but rage and anger as I dealt with him." It's interesting that death has an indiscriminate nature. It could care less how old we are. It can come and snatch us at any time. And despite our wealth, despite our good health even, the knowledge level that we have, political power somebody might have, even having royal blood doesn't make you immune to it. It's actually quite rare in our modern day for us to have to get close to death, other than maybe a funeral. But it's pretty rare that we personally have to deal with someone's body when they die. That was not uncommon a number of generations ago. Even in here in America, you'll still see little cemeteries and corners of out in the country that actually started as a family's gravesite. Rigor mortis is a word that we use to talk about the rigidity that comes to our bodies when we die. And it's really quite a word. It shows how death controls us finally and locks us, if you will, into a state that we can't get out of by ourselves. Rigor mortis. And there's a future spot in the ground for me someday. I maybe don't even know where it is yet, but there's a future spot in the ground for me where my remains will ultimately be placed. That's true for everybody in this sanctuary, unless our Lord comes first. Martin Luther had an interesting illustration that I always loved when it comes to this. He said, imagine some children who have been taught by their father not to play with fire, and they're out in a barn now and have caught some hay on fire, and the barn has begun to burn. And the father knows that they are the cause of the problem and the evil that's going to befall them. But the love for his children is so strong in his heart that it forces him to run into that barn to rescue them and to get them out of it. He's the only one that has that power and ability to take them and free them out of that situation. So that's how God, our Heavenly Father, was through the work of his Son with us. We were the cause of the fact that death is in our future. And yet God was moved so strongly in his heart that he had to take action. He had to send his Son into the world to rescue us. And in the text before us, Jesus makes some very bold claims about himself. Listen to what he says to his believers. "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." That means true God. "I am he who lives and was dead." He's a risen Christ. "And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." Now think about how significant a key is in your life, no matter how small it is. It's a tiny little thing. And yet, in a sense, the power that it gives you, the things that you can control or get into because of that, the things that you are able to unlock. Christ now possesses the power over death. He has the keys to it. And to those who believe and trust in him as their Savior, he hands this to you through his word and sacraments, something that we can't even see, the simple thing of faith that just grabs onto Christ. But because of that now, the members of his church possess the key to their own future grave, the key to get them out of this rigor mortis of death. And once we possess that key, think how differently Christ speaks to us in his church, the members of his church who hold on to him. Think how differently he speaks to us about death. Listen to some of the words that he uses now. It's now a sleep. It's now an entrance into a mansion. It's now an entrance into a banquet. It's like going through a door. It's a ride in the arms of an angel. That's how having this faith changes everything about your and my future death. Imagine what it would be like to actually stand in some of those grave sites around us on the day our Lord comes back and to watch the bodies of believers be raised back to life, glorified, and brought finally to their eternal home. No wonder Paul says this to you and to me as believers in Christ. What shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Thanks be to God. Amen.